the more we have awakened to the source that lies behind appearances, the more we see the way in which appearances and the attachment to appearances cause suffering. The more we are drawn into being instruments of light, of love, of bringing that presence into the world, the more our lives get dedicated to being an instrument of drawing spirit into life. And to that end, we purify ourselves to become instruments, and we serve the spirit as best as we understand it. We look for it in ourselves, we look for it in each other, we look for it just behind the veil of all of the forms of life. We see the way spirit infuses each form with a radiance. The being that is depicted here, Hanuman is a statement of a being who takes birth to serve spirit, to bring spirit into form. It is the path of enlightenment through service. Hanuman lives only to serve God. When one loses oneself into God, one immediately finds oneself in the service of all that lives. It becomes one's delight and recreation. One is a new person, never weary of spending her or himself in the service of God's creation. The more you sense that just behind the world of forms lies the spiritual wisdom of the universe that infuses form with life, the more you are dedicated to allowing that spirit to manifest. It becomes your joy and recreation. And you take any human relationship and you look for ways to infuse it with living spirit. You take any social institution you're in and look for ways to keep it alive to living spirit. And when you are about this particular business, you find other beings of like heart to work with. And when you don't find them on the physical plane, you find them in your inner being on other planes. You become an instrument of love. In these past 2 days, we have explored how to quiet the mind in order to extricate oneself from thought and come into the spacious awareness. We have sung to the Mother and to Ram to open the heart, to create the quality of love that allows you to merge into the spacious awareness. We have been discussing how to live life on a daily basis in a way to see behind the veils and come into the present moment of spacious awareness. We've discussed a kind of metaphysics, a context, a perspective that allows you to look at life, not denigrating the dance, but not getting lost in it. Living it with passion and yet with equanimity. Embracing these paradoxes. Honoring your unique separate entity, and at the same moment, recognizing your unity with all things. Honoring the analytic mind, which is the instrument that steers and guides your separateness and knows the world. And honoring the heart, which merges outward through love into things and is wise about the world. We have looked at taking your unique predicament in life and seeing that it's not an error, but it's a curriculum. Not to be treated heavily, but to be looked at lightly. We have done mantra in order to center, to deepen the concentration and the quiet, and to give you a technique for constantly regaining the center in any situation. We've talked about the dramatic phenomena that are happening all around us and how to find the place inside ourselves from which we can be creative and be responsive without being caught in being reactive. I've kidded often about myself, about my own neuroses, saying that in all the years of my analysis and my drug taking and my gurudom, being with guru, not my gurudom, but being with gurus, and meditation and mantra and all of that, I have never gotten rid of one neurosis. Not one. I have the same pattern of neuroses I always had. The same weirdities, the same all of it. That's just it. The only thing that's changed is that while originally they were absolutely huge and real and scary and possessive, and they would take me over, now they are like little schmooze that come by to have tea. Now, my personality neuroses are my style. They're just style, after all. So, become friendly with your neuroses. Some of them are user-friendly. It's all right to play with your personality stuff, but don't get too lost in it. You're living in a culture that deifies personality. It's okay for you to come up for air. It's okay for you to honor it and give it space without being consumed by it. We live in a society that worships intellect. It is wonderful to have your intellect as your servant. It is an abomination to have it as your master. We are coming out of a long, dark period in this culture where finally we are understanding that the intuitive heart is a doorway to wisdom, not a weakness. Just keep in mind that who you are is hardly visible to the human eye. It can hardly be heard by the human ear. It can hardly be touched by the human touch. It can hardly be tasted or smelled. That who you are is vast. To remember the way we are one and still dance as separate. Right on. For those of you that feel that your heart needs work, that it's still a little closed, I invite you to reach out and serve somebody that is suffering. There's nothing that opens your heart more than the real needs of another human being. But I invite you not to get lost in it, to learn how to keep your heart open, the human heart that feels the pain of others' suffering, without losing the expansive conscious love that embraces all things, including suffering. I invite you and me to take our places in the lineage of compassionate wisdom that has existed through the history of human consciousness. You have many reference groups. You have family, you have friends, you have professional roles, you have pathology, you have lots of reference groups. I invite you to have one more reference group, that of being part of the lineage of compassionate wisdom. Going to do a metta meditation. Is there anything anybody wants to say before we do that? That'll complete our process together. Yes.
I just wanted to ask, I know that you have a guru, but it's really not necessary for people to have a guru to follow a strict spiritual path.
The question is it necessary to have a guru? The answer is everyone has a guru. The guru is within. You may or may not have an external form of that. If you do, it's lovely. It mirrors for you the places you're stuck, and it's helpful. If you don't have one, don't spend your life looking for one. Or you can. That's a spiritual practice, too. It's called looking for the guru. But the guru and God and self are the same thing. There's only one of it in the universe. Hmm. Is that the question you're asking? Other questions that you would like to explore?
It's interesting. This image of Hanuman, Hanuman's devotion to God or to the guru, his guru is Ram. In fact, that ring that he's carrying in that picture, has the word Ram on it. And what he's actually doing with that ring is it depicts a moment in the story of Hanuman when he has flown across the ocean. It's the ocean of desolation, the ocean of separation from the beloved. To remind, to tell Sita, who is actually the Divine Mother, the Goddess, that God is near, always, always remembers you. The part of it that relates to your question is this, that Hanuman, in the form of Hanuman, is the devotee to Ram. Hanuman, in truth, in Hinduism, is Shiva. Shiva is God. So in truth, it's one face of God manifesting on earth to serve the same God, the one God. As to quote our friend Wavy Gravy, who is one of our gurus, we're all just shaking hands with ourselves. It's God serving God. So an outer form of a guru, the inner guru. Our guru used to say sub-ek. Translated, it means all one.
Yeah?
What about bringing children into all of this?
What about bringing children into all of this? Gandhi's line, my life is my message. That when you are the statement of you, the integration of spirit and matter, you are then the teaching for everybody around you. Then you do what you do with each person. If it's a child, you protect them and care for them and do what you do. And in that process, the whole transmission occurs.
Could you briefly say what would be covered in one of your longer retreats this summer?
What would be covered in a longer retreat this summer? I have no idea. I don't know. You sure go deeper. I mean, you're doing like 3 hours of meditation a day, and you're doing long chants, and you're doing large group process, and we're doing silent periods and nature stuff, and yeah. Yeah, lots. It's just deeper. It's deeper. You don't need it.
We've we've obviously touched upon each one of these practices basically once or twice throughout this weekend, and trying to get into whatever 16 hours in a weekend, many different practices. The weeks or the longer retreats just go deeper with each practice.
But the important thing is to make your whole life the practice. This is not something you do on Sunday morning. It's not something you do on Saturday night. It slowly, slowly leaks into everything you do. Until try to find a space where God isn't, where the Spirit isn't in your life. And then hang out and wait. Okay? Yeah.
In this book, there's mantras, the second to the last one. Could you say that, the words? And I wanted to know what Bina meant.
The mantra, the next to last one on in the booklet, Aditya Hridayam Punyam Sarv Shatru Binashanam. All evil vanishes from life for those who keep the sun in their hearts. I don't know. I have no idea. Whatever you'd like it to mean. I don't know. It's a great moment. I can end not knowing anything.
Actually, the word bina or vina in Hindi has many different translations depending on the enunciation of it. One Bina is the most sacred sound instrument. Bina is also means without. If you turn the page in that booklet, and there's a Mirabai song, and it says, "My heart, what is this life without taking the name of Sri Hari, of the Lord? Without is Bina. Sumiranakandale Dhamma Bina. Without the name."
Yeah.
Did you want to comment more on open-eyed meditation? Do you feel like it would be effective?
On open-eyed meditation. I think it would be very useful for you to experiment with, yes. I think that to learn how to look at things and see the phenomena and use all of it. One of the meditations that I've done recently that's quite interesting is to sit down and look at the sky. Just look at the sky with your eyes open, and then experience the sky as a mirroring of the awareness, the sky awareness inside yourself. And then see the phenomena of your mind and your body and the sounds around you, all that, as these things coming into the sky and then disappearing, coming and disappearing and coming and disappearing. And it's a very, it's a traditional meditation that that is fun to experiment with, really. It's been a delight to be together. This is really such grace, isn't it, that we can live in a time and a place with all of the problems of the universe and all of our own stuff, that we can still come together to explore living spirit together. That's pretty good. I like that. Well, when you've spent a weekend or some time gathering and feeding oneself, it's nice to end with doing what in Buddhism is called sharing the merit. That is, spreading it out a little bit. So what we'll do is just at the end, for the last meditation, let's just get centered and quiet. And bring your awareness to the middle of your chest. And breathe as if you were breathing in and out of the middle of your chest. And now just imagine that we are all one body breathing in and out of the middle of our chest. You breathe in and out of your chest, but just experience yourself as containing all of us in this room. So we are one huge being breathing in and out of the chest. Now imagine that surrounding us in concentric circles are all beings. As far as the mind can imagine, circles of beings above us, below us, on all sides of us, beings that are living now, beings from other planes, beings from past and future, all sentient beings, animal beings, fish beings, bird beings, human beings, earth being, all beings, planet beings, continuing to breathe in and out of the middle of the chest. Imagine now that in the center of your very chest being, halfway between the front and the back, there is a light, a radiance. And when you breathe out, that radiance comes out not just from the front of your chest, but all around you, just going out from you, passing to every one of these sentient beings that has existed at all times, everywhere. Touching each heart with light, with presence. With love. With wisdom. I will say four short phrases, statements, and after each one, if it feels comfortable, we'll repeat it together. May all beings everywhere be free from suffering.
May all beings everywhere be free from suffering.
May all beings everywhere be peaceful.
May all beings everywhere be peaceful.
May all beings everywhere be happy.
May all beings everywhere be happy.
May all beings everywhere be free.
May all beings everywhere be free.
In Tibetan Buddhism, there is a statement that says, may your wisdom mind and my wisdom mind remain inseparable. In India, we use the term namaste, which means I honor the place in you where when you are resting in that place in yourself, and I am resting in that place in myself, there is only one of us. Namaste.
Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya.
This concludes Spiritual Perspectives and Practices for Daily Life with Ram Dass, accompanied by Jai Lakshman.
Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram.
Ram Dass is one of the leading spiritual teachers of our time, well known for his ability to integrate Western culture with Eastern philosophies. Born in Boston as Richard Alpert, he received his Ph.D. in psychology from Stanford University. He served on the faculties of Stanford and the University of California, and later at Harvard University. In 1963, he was dismissed from Harvard along with Timothy Leary because of the controversial nature of his research with LSD and human consciousness. In 1967, Ram Dass traveled to India on a search for Eastern methods of enlightenment. There he met his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, known to Western devotees as Maharaji, and received his name Ram Dass, or Servant of God. Ram Dass is the author of the landmark spiritual guide, Be Here Now, The Only Dance There Is, Miracle of Love, Stories About Neem Karoli Baba, Journey of Awakening, A Meditator's Guidebook, and co-author of How Can I Help? He is also a founding member of the Seva Foundation, a nonprofit organization devoted to compassionate action around the world, especially in developing countries. If you would like more information on the work of the Seva Foundation, please call 415-492-1829 or write the Seva Foundation, 8 North San Pedro Road, San Rafael, California, 94903. And if you are interested in more information on future workshops and retreats with Ram Dass, please call the Hahnemann Foundation, 415-457-8570, or write to the Hahnemann Foundation at 524 San Anselmo, number 201, San Anselmo, California, 94960. And if you are interested in additional copies of this recording or a complete catalog of transformational audio tapes, please call Sounds True, 1-800-333-9185, or write to the Sounds True catalog, 735 Walnut Street, Boulder, Colorado, 80302. Thank you for listening.